It's time for Rush Hour with Danny Berg, presented by Bet Rivers.
Welcome into Rush Hour, presented by Bet Rivers. We made it, everybody. It is Friday. Happy Friday to all of you out there. Danny Berg here with VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. As always, you can follow me on Twitter at DannyBerg5. You can follow the show on Twitter at VSiN Live. We got a good one on tap for you this evening in just about 5 minutes or so. One of our favorite guests, Lou Finocchiaro, will be joining the program for our weekly UFC hit. A big event coming up tomorrow during the day, not at night, but during the day for UFC 254, a bunch of good fights to get to. And not only will we hit the octagon with our friend Lou, we'll talk some NFL. Per usual, we'll go over some of Lou's best bets heading into NFL Week 7, plus some other exciting news as we've been hitting on all throughout the week. Big Ten football is back, baby. That's right, so we have that to look forward to. Teddy Greenstein, college football analyst, will be joining the program as well. Get his thoughts. He's been covering the Big Ten for quite some time, so very curious to hear some of his analysis and insight on some of the games this weekend for the Big Ten. Plus, Game 3 of the World Series doesn't get much better than that. We got a bunch of action, and we have the World Series tonight, so we'll get into that game in just a second, but we also have some Friday night college football, one of them a Big Ten game. So let's go ahead and get you geared up with the pregame rush here with some of these lines as they stand currently at the moment, and we'll start on the diamond with Game 3 of the World Series between the Dodgers and the Rays. Series knotted up at one apiece. The series price currently still has the Dodgers laying $2. The Rays plus 160. This one opened up with the Dodgers at about minus 150. Tampa Bay plus 135 on the buyback. Now the total opened at 8. We've seen that tick down just a hair to 7.5, shaded to the under minus 117, overs minus 103. Currently on the money line, the Dodgers minus 152 at Bet Rivers. The Rays catching plus 130. If you're more intrigued with the run line and you want to lay it with the Dodgers, you're getting plus 118. If you want to take the 1.5 with Tampa Bay, you're laying minus 141. And on the mound tonight, we got a battle of the righties. Walker Buehler in the postseason so far for the Dodgers. He started 4 games, only 1-0 to this point. 19 innings pitched, 4 earned runs, 2 of them home runs. 29 strikeouts, posting a 1.89 ERA, a solid xFIP with 3.30 and a 1.37 WHIP. Posing Buehler for the Rays to get Charlie Morton, the righty in this postseason, has been dominant. 3-0 thus far, 15.2 innings pitched, 1 earned run, no home runs, just 4 walks, 17 Ks, a 0.57 ERA with a 3.82 xFIP and a really solid WHIP of 0.96. And like we said, we see that line in favor of the Dodgers, minus 152. The Rays at plus 130 in that total, standing pat at 7.5, shaded a tad bit to the under. We'll be sure to get into that game a little bit more so as we go on with the show. But let's get you ready for some college football action as well. This game kicking off at 6:30 p.m. Central Time, Tulsa in South Florida. This one opened with Tulsa laying 10. Total opened up at 52.5. We've seen the total drop now to 50.5. And the attention has gone toward Tulsa here as they're currently laying 12.5, minus 590 on the money line, plus 360 on the buyback for South Florida. On the year, Tulsa 1-1 straight up, 2-0 against the number, and they've hit 2 unders in those 2 games thus far. Remember, that total has dropped from 52.5 to 50.5. And then you look at the other side for USF. It's been quite the struggle thus far. They're 1-4 straight up. However, they're 3-2 ATS and an over-under ratio of 3-2. Once again, Tulsa minus 12.5, and the total in that spot at 50.5. Plus, then we got some Big Ten action as well. Illinois and Wisconsin. It's going to be fun to get the Big Ten back, baby. Cannot wait. 7 p.m. is when kickoff is going to occur. This line opened up at most places with Wisconsin laying 20, total at about 55. So right now the consensus looks to be Wisconsin laying 20.5 and the total at 51.5. We'll be sure to talk more about that game with Teddy Greenstein when he joins the program later. Once again, that total at about 51.5. The Badgers ranked 14th currently without playing a game. They're laying 20.5, and that total has really dropped down from 55 as well. So some attention has gone toward the under in that spot. Revenge game for Doug Greenberg's Wisconsin Badgers against the Fighting Illini. All right, and then how about a game really quick that we talked about yesterday with Josh Applebaum, some big line movement with UL Lafayette. because UAB opened as a 1.5 favorite. Now we see UL Lafayette is a 2.5-point favorite. All the attention has been going that direction. They're minus 141 on the money line. UAB is plus 114. This total opened at about 49.5, is only ticked up to 50. But once again, the sharp money has gone toward UL Lafayette, so still a decent opportunity if you want to grab them below the key number of 3 with UL Lafayette laying 2.5 against UAB. Welcome into a Friday edition of Rush Hour presented by Bet Rivers. Danny Burke live here at the Bet Rivers Sportsbook in Des Plaines, Illinois, per usual, just outside of Chicago. A fantastic weekend to look forward to. We got Big Ten football, World Series action, NFL Week 7, and of course, UFC 254. And for that, we bring in our Friday regular, Mr. Lou Finicaro at GamLou, is where you can catch our guy on Twitter. Lou, as always, thanks for joining the program. Big fight to look forward to. How you feeling?
Great fight card, great weekend of sports. It looks like it's getting crisp in the Chicago air, and I'm ready to rock and roll, Danny.
It really is, Lou. It's getting a little bit chilly in here. That's why I got this jacket on. But no, that just means we got a lot of good action to look forward to in the sports world. So let's get right into it in the octagon with the lightweight bout with Yakovlev going against Alvarez in this spot. The lightweight bout, we see Alvarez is a slight favorite. Well, more than a slight favorite. His number's really been jumping up throughout the day. At Bet Rivers, Alvarez is about minus 175. Yakovlev is about plus 138. How do you see this one going down, Lou?
You know, this is a fight that if both fighters made weight, Alvarez would be the stronger, more structured, dynamic fighter. I don't really believe Yakovlev belongs in the UFC. I think he's put in there to help the Spaniard look good. The Spaniard reacts because he drops too much weight. He's too big for 155, and he reacts by showing up for the weigh-ins this morning at 159 pounds. So he has more advantage than he would have had he made weight. And I think that's the reason that the price is creeping up. But Alvarez is in a really good spot here. And so minus 175 is still a target price for Alvarez in this fight.
All right, let's move on to the welterweight bout with Rakhmonov taking on Oliveira. And Oliveira is about even money currently at Bet Rivers. Rakhmonov is minus 124. We saw some decent line movement in this spot, didn't we, Lou?
Yeah, we sure did. I was just checking. Cowboy Oliveira opened minus 175. But the betting market, the early betting market, realized, I think, that kryptonite to his style is Rakhmonov's style. Rakhmonov from the M1 Kazakhstani regional scene. But don't let that fool you. He's fought in main events. He's fought killer fighters. And he brings a grappling style that's kryptonite to what Oliveira wants to do. Oliveira is a consummate bender of the rules. He, again, for this fight, weighed in 3 pounds extra himself because he knows the grappler is going to want to take him down, and he's angling for advantage, but it's not going to do him any good because this young Uzbekistani fighter is going to eventually wrap around him like a wet blanket, take him to the mat, and hopefully just rub him all over the floor.
All right, then let's go ahead and take a look at the heavyweight bout with Alexander Volkov is the favorite here against Walt Harris. Currently, Volkov minus 190 at Bet Rivers. Lou, plus 150 on the buyback for Walt Harris.
Yeah, Volkov, typical European-Russian kind of a fighter. He's a stand-up striker kicker. He's relatively erect, but he's going to have a substantial three or four-inch reach advantage. He's a couple inches taller. Harris is going to be out there, and he's like a time bomb. And if you set it for 5 minutes, you're going to get 5 minutes of explosive danger from Walt Harris. Volkov's going to have to weather that early round, use distance, keep Walt Harris at bay. And when this fight gets to the second round, if Volkov can commandeer it to the second round, this fight will switch to Volkov's favor as Walt will run out of gas and Volkov will pick him apart from outside. I look for Volkov in this fight, and Volkov by decision is a reasonable position as well.
All right, now, how about this middleweight bout? I know you've been preaching about this fight for quite some time. You notified me about this one either 2 or 3 weeks ago, and I hopped on it immediately once you told me to. And now we actually see this one minus 110 each way and the middleweight bout with Cannonier and Robert Whittaker. Are your thoughts still the same with this bout? Because obviously the line has been going up and down and up and down, and now we see them head-to-head as a pick 'em at Bet Rivers. Do you still lean toward Cannonier in this spot?
Yeah, where I track these fights, this fight broke relatively even. A little early action on Cannoneer as he was minus 115, minus 120. And now you see the market bringing it back to Whitaker. Whitaker is the fighter that people know more. He's an ex-champion. He's fought the who's who of the division. And I believe that that wealth of experience is also a double-edged sword in that a lot of his zip, crispness, and explosion has been usurped by the amount of attrition he's taken in two Yoel Romero fights among an Izzy Adesanya fight as well. His last fight against a pedestrian fighter in Darren Till, he looked relatively sluggish. Meanwhile, Cannoneer started his career at heavyweight, moved to light heavyweight, and now fights at 185. He's explosive. He's very crisp, and he's extremely powerful. For 5 minutes, this fight is going to be toe-to-toe, and then I think that the explosion and speed of Cannoneer is going to begin to manifest itself, and I like Cannoneer in this spot a good deal.
And then finally, the lightweight title bout, Khabib Nurmagomedov, the big favorite here, Lou, minus 335 at Bet Rivers, going against Justin Gaethje, plus 265. However, you're looking at a different area to bet this spot.
Well, I mean, when Khabib came out 230 2 months ago, I was able to jump that, but we weren't able to do Rush Hour at that point. And now the line has gone up, which is why I took it then. So we have to find another way to attack this fight. Gaethje, his one weakness in his fights is that he goes out to kill or be killed, and that's how he's taking this fight. He must keep this fight standing. And he's going to try and knock Nurmagomedov out as he comes in. One thing everyone knows, and Nurmagomedov has made clear, is that that's what he's going to do. He's going to come in, and he's going to try and take Justin Gaethje down 100 times, if it takes. And so eventually, in the late second round, early third round, Gaethje's going to get tired of keeping him off, or Nurmagomedov's going to get tired of trying to take him down. And with Gaethje's history, I think it's Nurmagomedov that will overcome. And I think he submits Gaethje or takes him out with ground and pound in the fourth or fifth round. And for that reason, I think your best angle is Nurmagomedov inside the distance. And you bring that price way down closer to minus 110, maybe just a little higher than that.
Yeah, and the price at Bet Rivers for inside the distance, minus 121 in favor of Khabib. So just to recap, UFC 254 picks by our man Lou, Khabib Nurmagomedov to finish inside the distance, minus 121. I'm going to go off the numbers relatively that you can get at Bet Rivers, minus 121 at Bet Rivers for that bet. Then Cannoneer, minus 110 versus Whitaker in the middleweight bout. And we see Volkov around that minus 180 spot in the heavyweight bout. Lou likes him over Walt Harris. Then Rakhmonov for a little bit of plus money, but now that one's transitioned a little bit, and we've seen it flip to about minus 124, where Oliveira is about even money. But Lou is going with Rakhmonov in the welterweight bout. And then finally, the lightweight bout, Alvarez over Yakolev. And that one to recap UFC 254. Always love your analysis in the octagon, Lou, but let's go ahead and take a look at the gridiron with NFL Week 7. A bunch of good games to get to, and I'm excited to talk with you about it, especially because I'm in agreement with you on a couple of these spots. Now, let's start with this game in Tennessee with the Titans and the Steelers, because this one opened up with the Titans as about a 1.5-point favorite. We've kind of seen it bounce a little bit back and forth, but right now at Bet Rivers, the Titans still laying 1.5. -1.25 on the money line, plus 110 on the buyback for Pittsburgh. This total has dropped from 52.5 to 51. Personally, Lou, I think the difference comes down with the defense. In DVOA overall, Pitt is second and Tennessee is 22nd.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, you're looking at a very well-balanced team in Pittsburgh, offensively and defensively, against a team in Tennessee that's got a white-hot offense, but their defense is really lacking. The key to this game is a couple of injuries. Left tackle Luan for Tennessee, but I think that's offset by Bush, the linebacker, being out with Pittsburgh. I look for Pittsburgh to use ball control in that 14th ranked run offense to try and jam it down Tennessee's throat, which will do two things: possess the ball for Pittsburgh, as well keep Tennessee's offense off the field.
Yeah, I'm with you in that one. What I actually did is tease up the Steelers at +1.5, +7.5. But I like your assessment there, too. I would probably lean toward the Steelers on the money line. So we'll be rooting for the same team in that spot. And same with this next one, too. How about the 49ers in New England against the Patriots? Lou, you like to look at the early lines, and this one had the Patriots laying 5.5. Now that's obviously dropped down. We currently see the Patriots laying 2. This total was at about 46. That's also dropped down to 44. Do you think this is a good bounce back spot for Cam Newton and Belichick?
It is. The NFL is about not only bouncing back, but it's about public overreaction. Last week, you couldn't have served San Francisco on a plate and on a white tablecloth to anyone and have them take it. It was all Rams, and now everybody wants San Francisco. Listen, San Francisco has to get on a plane. They have to go all the way across country. They have to take on a New England team off a loss. And now you're going to give me New England that in the look ahead was given 5.5. And now I'm under the key number of 3. Belichick in this situation is too good. If you want to look, yes, San Francisco is the more balanced team. And New England has a really stout defense. I think the New England defense can neutralize San Francisco's offense without 3 running backs, an offensive tackle, and a couple of defensive players as well. I think the New England offense can do enough against that San Francisco defense, again with some injuries, that this is a New England game. And if someone wanted to look at San Francisco, I'd maybe ask you to take the teaser and move them up to 8, but it's not my preference. I think New England minus under the 3 is the way to go in this spot.
Yep, once again in agreement with you here. I actually took the money line minus 1.25 with New England. And also, not only with the huge recency bias here for both teams, it's Belichick against the former quarterback, so that always adds an intriguing angle with it, with Belichick going against Jimmy G. Now let's move on to another spot where weather could play a factor in Denver, where the Broncos host the Chiefs. Now, we just saw some big line movement here, Lou, because Kansas City was at about 9.5 as the favorite all week. Total was at 49.5 because of that weather, the potential snow. It's dropped down to 44.5. And now the spread has dropped down even more in favor of the Broncos. So now the Chiefs are only an 8-point favorite in this game. Do you think this is a good spot for Denver? Because honestly, it doesn't seem like Kansas City has as much rhythm as we're used to seeing.
Well, the key to this will be, how is the Denver offense going to fare against the Chiefs defense? Because the Denver defense showed what they could do last week, and I think they're a formidable matchup for the Chiefs, provided they're not on the field for 45 minutes. So Denver's going to have to do something on offense. And now you add some wind and 20 degrees and rapidly changing temperatures in Denver, and you aid their cause. Early in the week, 9.5 is the number that I got, and I sure like Denver better at 9.5 than 8. But Denver's got the defense, and with the weather, I'm not afraid of Denver even at that 8. I'd prefer 8.5 because 8's becoming a key number, but I do like the points in this game with weather.
All right, and then finally, Monday Night Football. Everybody here in the sports book will be anticipating this one with the Bears on the road against the Rams. The Bears currently catching 5.5 in this spot. Now, it opened up at 7. We've seen it at 6 a lot, too, but currently it's at 5.5 what the Bears are catching. Plus 205 on the money line, minus 240 on the other side for the Rams. This total opened up at about 47. That's dropped down now to 45. Look, Lou, I mean, we talked about this with the 49ers and the Patriots. This is a tough spot for me personally, and I don't really have a bet at this point, but this could be considered a big recency bias game as well.
Yeah, and I know I'm dealing with Chicagoland, and I want to like Chicago here. I just can't find any reason to think that them going on the road is going to be good. Let's understand, they had to go all the way to the East Coast last week, looked great against the Carolina team, and then now they got to come back and go to L.A. against a team last week that everybody thought was going to win the Super Bowl, and now nobody wants to talk about them. So I think in this game, what we're going to see is the Ram offense do everything they can do to control the game, get a little bit of a lead, and put pressure on that Chicago offense. Listen, nobody has any questions about the Chicago defense, but the Chicago offense is still trying to find itself. And I think if you give the Rams a 3 or 7 point lead, it's going to be really hard for Chicago to get back in the game as well. You look at the total in this game at 45 or 45.5. I don't know what Bet Rivers has. But I think I don't know where the Bears are going to get their points against the Ram defense. And I do like the Rams in this spot.
All right, there he is, Lou Finicaro, at Gamblu on Twitter. Catch him contributing to Point Spread Weekly. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe. Just $129 from now through the Super Bowl. You get all the great content, including Lou's analysis on UFC and the NFL. Lou, as always, appreciate the time.
Thank you so much, and good luck, everyone.
You betcha. You as well. At Gamblu is where you can catch him on Twitter. Once again, VSiN.com/subscribe for more analysis and insight when it comes to UFC and the NFL. And just to recap some of Lou's NFL picks, liking the Patriots in that spot against the 49ers. Now, he makes his picks earlier in the week, but with the number under 3, he laid the 2.5 with the Patriots. Remember, you can get that number at 2 currently. Then Denver catching 9.5, like we just alluded to. That one has dropped down now to 8 is what the Broncos are catching currently. Then the Steelers laying 1.5. On the road against Tennessee, remember, DVOA defense, Steelers are second, then 22nd for Tennessee. That's really where the huge discrepancy is between these teams. Pittsburgh's been putting up a heck of a lot of points, so that could be a higher scoring affair as well with that total at 51. But Lou likes the Steelers laying 1.5. And then finally, sorry to all the Chicago fans out there, but Lou likes the Rams laying 5.5 on Monday night. This line has been teetering from 6 to 5.5 pretty much all throughout the week. It opened up 7. But now we see the Rams laying 5.5. So, look, I'm sure it'll get back up to 6 at another point. But if you're with Lou here, or if you're against Lou, then obviously wait for the 6. If you're with him, then lay the 5.5 now, because that's where it currently stands, Pat, at Bet Rivers. All right, speaking of Bet Rivers, how about the weekly Pick'em contest? Myself and my producer, Doug, going head-to-head. We'll have our updated standings, our picks for this week, and much more when we return here on Rush Hour. BetRivers Sportsbook has special offers on all the big events this weekend, including World Series Profit Boost with 2 25% profit boosts tonight and every day of the World Series, plus UFC specials when you wager at least $254 on UFC 254 fights. Get a $54 free bet and, of course, Profit Boost Sundays with a 50% profit boost to use on one NFL game when you log into the BetRivers Sportsbook app on Sundays. Must be 21, playable in Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. In Colorado, call 1-800-522-4700. Playable in New Jersey as Play's Sugar House. Welcome back into Rush Hour, presented by Bet Rivers. We're live here at the Bet Rivers Sportsbook in Des Plaines, Illinois, just outside of Chicago. I'm Danny Burke. You can follow me on Twitter at DannyBurke5, and, of course, the show at VSiN Live. Some somewhat breaking news, because it's been out for about 15 minutes or so now, but Adam Schefter tweeting that Antonio Brown and the Buccaneers have reached an agreement on a one-year deal. So the language still has to be finalized, Schefter says. COVID protocols have been passed, but Brown is likely to make his Bucs debut week 9 against the Saints. Man, it looks like a Madden team that you would construct with what the Bucs are doing as of this point. Godwin, Evans, Gronkowski, and now Antonio Brown. Leonard Fournette, Ronald Jones, Shady McCoy. I mean, it's all over the place. It's ridiculous. But look, AB loves himself some Tom Brady, so that will be fun to watch if it does come to fruition consistently. But nevertheless, speaking of which, on the gridiron, we have our Bet Rivers Weekly Pick'em Contest, where my producer Doug Greenberg and I go head-to-head with these straight-up picks. Remember, you can get involved at betrivers.net, and you can do these weekly Pick'em Contests for a prize. Just make sure you get all those picks right. Nothing hard. Just make sure you get them all right. But so what we do is we go over our picks, go head-to-head, see where we stand against each other. Now, last week, Doug and I went even. We went 7-7. So that puts us overall. Doug is still in the lead narrowly with a 53-49 advantage over myself. And this week, unfortunately, I hate to say it, but we don't have that many differences. But we'll go over them regardless, and we'll start with the Panthers and the Saints. Now, Doug going out on a limb here. He's taking the Panthers in the spot. Now, it looks like Michael Thomas, once again, is going to be out of this game. That line actually dropped from the Saints, laying 7.5 to 7. I still think the Saints get the dub here. Maybe Doug likes the Teddy Bridgewater revenge factor potentially, but regardless, oh, he's shaking it. Yeah, he loves that. Okay. So Doug's liking the Panthers here. I'm still going with the Saints. And then we move on to the Bills and the Jets. Nobody's going to be picking the Jets here. So we are both on the Bills, Browns, and the Bengals. Now, this was at 3 earlier today on the spread. Bumped back up to 3.5 because no Joe Mixon. Looks like Austin Hooper will be out as well for the Browns. But really, when it came down to 3, I think it was tempting to look at that spot. It kind of reminded me of when the Steelers went down to lane 3 against the Browns. But now we see that with 3 in the hook in favor of Cleveland. But nevertheless, with the straight up pick, Doug and I are both on Cleveland in the Battle of Ohio against the Bengals. And then this is where we go against each other once again in the NFC East between the Cowboys and the Washington football team. Doug is going with the Washington football team. I'm going with Dallas, despite how ugly they've been this season. We were against them this past Monday night with the Cardinals, but I think this could be a good opportunity to not only have them here straight up, of course, but considering they're about to pick them at this point, I think it could be a decent bet. And unfortunately, we didn't have enough time with Lou. I was going to ask him about this, but look, I think Ezekiel Elliott can do enough to move the ball and have a bounce back performance from what we saw last game. And Washington does have a good defense. Don't get me wrong. If they're going to win, it's going to be because of that. I think Andy Dalton is a lot better than what he showed. Maybe not a lot better, but he's better than what he showed on Monday night. They have enough talent offensively with Amari Cooper, CeeDee Lamb, Gallup and company to get the job done. So I like the Cowboys. Doug likes Washington football team. Then we look at the Packers and the Texans. Talk about another game where it's a relatively short line for a high offensive team. Being the Packers, that one's been at 3.5. But straight up, Doug and I both like cheeseheads. Same with the Falcons and the Lions. Now, this one I was very kind of just going back and forth on. And I ended up picking the Falcons. So did Doug. Then the Seahawks and Cardinals, we're both on the Seahawks. Same with the Steelers and Titans with the narrow point spread. We're both riding Pittsburgh. Chiefs and Broncos, that line has been coming down. Despite that, Doug and I are both going with Kansas City. Then the Chargers and Jags, Justin Herbert coming off a bye. We both like the Chargers. Patriots and 49ers, well, Doug is from Boston, so I'll let you guess who we picked there. But I'm also on the same page with him. We both picked Cam Newton and Bill Belichick to defeat the San Francisco 49ers. And then the Buccaneers and Raiders, who we just talked about. Not that AB is going to play this game, but nevertheless, we both like Tampa Bay in this spot on the road. And then finally, the Bears on the road as well against the Los Angeles Rams. Sorry to my Bears fans out there, but it's tough. It's going to be a tough game here. And it's going to be a low-scoring one probably. But in the end, the Rams have a better offense, and I think that's what's going to come and prosper. So we are both on the Los Angeles Rams in that spot. Once again, if you want to get involved, betrivers.net for the weekly pick'em contest. Just pick all these games straight up and have a lot of fun with it. We'll be talking baseball next year. World Series Game 3 preview on Rush Hour. News, everybody. On Tuesday, October 27th, we will be live streaming the entire circuit grand opening event exclusively on VSiN.com, starting at 10 p.m. Eastern and going all throughout the night, leading up to the first broadcast of Follow the Money from our new studios inside the Circus Sportsbook at 7 a.m. Eastern on Wednesday, October 28th. That's 12 hours of live insider coverage from the circuit grand opening event on the 27th and 28th, all for free on VSiN.com. Join Derek Stevens, Mike Palm, the VSiN team, and a guest list full of Las Vegas icons, celebrities, for all of the festivities starting at 10 p.m. Eastern, all for free, only on VSiN.com. Welcome back into VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. It's Rush Hour, presented by Bet Rivers. Danny Burke live at the Bet Rivers Sportsbook in Des Plaines, Illinois. We've talked some UFC, we've talked some college football, NFL, and now it's time to talk some baseball with the Fall Classic Game 3 this evening between the Dodgers and the Rays. Let's dive right into it. Once again, this one open with the Dodgers is about a minus 150 favorite. The Rays at about plus 135. Total opened at 8. We've seen that drop now to 7.5. Currently on the money line, the Dodgers minus 152. The Rays plus 130. So just a little bit of action going back and forth on both sides. you want it, if you're more interested, rather, in the run line, the Dodgers laying the run and a half is plus 118. The Rays getting one and a half, minus 141. As we know, it's Walker Buehler versus Charlie Morton. Walker Buehler this postseason has started four games. He's 1-0 up to this point. 19 innings pitched. He's allowed 15 hits, four earned runs, two of them home runs, 11 walks, 29 strikeouts, posting a 1.89 ERA, an xFIP of 3.30, and a whip of 1.37. Now, on the other side for Charlie Morton, Morton's 3-0 this postseason. He's gone 15.2 innings pitched, allowed 11 hits, two runs, one of them earned, no home runs, four walks, 17 strikeouts, a 0.57 ERA, an xFIP of 3.82, and a very solid whip of 0.96. Now, as we look at how these offenses stack up, Walker Buehler on the mound, the Rays offense against righties throughout this postseason, only hitting a 701 OPS versus righties in the playoffs. In the regular season, they didn't do too well either, a 738 OPS against righties. So it could be a long night for this Rays offense. How about the Dodgers, though? Because Charlie Morton's been on fire this postseason. Well, in the postseason, the Dodgers against righties have a 735 OPS. Now, compared to what they did in the regular season, they had an 837 OPS. Now, remember, obviously, it's a lot bigger sample size with the regular season, but still, the advantage slightly goes to the Dodgers offensively. We just know that they're the best offense in baseball. But the Rays have picked it up as of late. Can they do that tonight against Buehler? Well, Buehler's been pretty solid throughout this postseason as well. The pitching matchup, probably you give the nod to Morton. Offensively, the nod probably goes to the Dodgers in this spot. So we know the Dodgers won game one, 8-3. The Rays won game two, 6-4. And maybe if you're a little bit shy with the full game bets, how about some first five bets? Let's look at the money line for the first five innings. We see the Dodgers in this spot as the favorite, minus 155. The Rays plus 125 for the first five inning money line. The Dodgers with the first five innings this postseason are 7-4-3. They're 2-0-2, however, with Buehler on the mound. So they've never lost a first five money line with Buehler on the bump, but they have tied twice and they've won twice. Now looking at the other side for the Rays and their money line throughout the first five this playoff, 9-6-1 so far this postseason. And with Morton on the mound, they are 3-0. So they have also never lost with Morton on the mound. They've never tied either. So this is going to be fun to see how this one plays out. Now, if you think, because Morton's 3-0, Buehler's 2-0-2, so he's had two ties. Heck, maybe they're going to be tied after five innings. Well, that leads us to the lead after five innings bet, where you get better value on the Dodgers and Rays, but that's because the tie is available. And if it does tie and you don't bet the tie, you lose your money. So in this spot, the Dodgers are minus 107. The tie is plus 420. Could be a good value bet tonight, maybe. The Rays, then, in that spot are plus 165. The Rays overall have only one tie, though, this postseason after five innings. The Dodgers have had three ties this postseason after five innings. And remember, two of them have occurred when Walker Buehler has been on the mound. Now, how about the spread for the first five innings? The Dodgers laying a run and a half. You get plus 185 if you look that direction. If you want to take the run and a half with Tampa Bay, you're laying a heavy price of minus 235. But the Rays cover in one and a half. They've done that 13 out of 16 games this postseason. And with that number, this isn't saying they've been in that spot, but when you look at it, how many times have they covered it, theoretically, if you put it there, they've covered that 13 out of 16 games this postseason. And the Rays have covered that number each time Morton has pitched this postseason. Granted, he's been 3-0 for first five money lines, so of course he has. The Dodgers on the other side, how many times have they been leading by at least two after five innings? Well, they're 6-8 in that spot. So it hasn't happened too often, two games under 500 in that regard. And they've only covered this once when Buehler has started this postseason. And he started four times. So, yeah, the Rays with plus 1.5, you're laying 235. But anything can happen, as we know, in the World Series. I just don't know if I have that much confidence to lay the run and a half with the Dodgers. But you do get some good value, plus 185. Now, if you're thinking, what about the total runs? Because this is a spot we always like to dabble with. The total runs for the first five innings, it's a lower one at 3.5, shaded to the over minus 134. The under 3.5 is plus 108. Now, we've seen it go over in both times this series because it was at 3.5 in game one. They got over it then. It was at 4.5 in game two. Once again, it got over that mark throughout the first five innings. So once again, it's at 3.5, shaded to the over. Dodgers over under with this mark at 3.5 is 9-7 with the first five total at 3.5 so far this season. However, when Buehler's been on the mound, they've hit this under 3 out of 4 times. Now, when you look at the Rays with this over-under mark of 3.5, they've hit 8 overs with that number and 6 unders. And with Morton on the mound, though, they've hit two unders out of the three games he started with the first five, total 3.5. So I do think it's going to be a lower scoring affair. It's just still so tough to bet the under 3.5, though, here, because anything can happen with this Dodger. And I hate saying anything can happen. Of course it can. But just because of how good this Dodgers offense is, that's the thing that kind of scares me away from looking to take the under here. But at the same time, I'm not really looking to lay the number for the over 3.5 when you have such a good pitching matchup here. Now, remember what we said. I do think the nod goes to Morton in this pitching matchup. But, of course, offensively, you give the advantage to the Dodgers. So, really, this game kind of just stinks all over the place, in my opinion, unless you think maybe because the number's a little bit lower than what you'd maybe see with the Dodgers, minus 152. I guess you could go that way. But, look, guys, I don't want to kind of just force one out there for you. So, personally, I have no play in this spot. I do have a bunch more plays to get to later when we have college football and NFL, so we will hit Danny's Dimes to end the show. But for this game with the Dodgers and Rays, I personally will be staying away as we see the Dodgers minus 152, the Rays plus 130, the total runs in this spot at 7.5, the overs minus 103, the unders minus 117. If I had to twist my arm, I guess I would slightly lean to the under here. But once again, I just really don't want anything to do with this game. Maybe look for an in-game betting opportunity, if anything. But okay, that's going to wrap it up for baseball, for Game 3 of the World Series. Next, we'll be talking college football. Big Ten is back. Teddy Greenstein, college football analyst, will be joining the program. More best bets as we round out another edition of Rush Hour. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. You instantly get a list of quality candidates from Indeed's resume database the moment you sponsor a job. Get started at Indeed.com/credit. Welcome back into Rush Hour presented by BetRivers. Speaking of BetRivers, if you like to place your bets just before the game, BetRivers Sportsbook is the perfect place for you. Go to BetRivers mobile app on any NFL game day and find 30% less vig on point spreads and point totals, which means more money in your pocket. As always, get great customer service and only a one-time playthrough at BetRivers, your hometown sportsbook. Must be 21, playable in Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. In Colorado, call 1-800-522-4700. Playable in New Jersey as Play Sugar House. Welcome back into Rush Hour. I'm Danny Burke with VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. As always, you can catch me on the tweets at DannyBurke5, the show at VSiN Live. You can catch our next guest on Twitter at Teddy Greenstein, college football analyst, very familiar with the Big Ten, and we could not be more excited. The night is finally here and the weekend's finally here. Big Ten action coming back. Teddy, how are you feeling, my friend?
I am so excited. I'm going to go to my neighbor's house. He's got the big screen stretched out, about 100 inches of glory. So we've waited an incredibly long time for Big Ten football. Got a game tonight and really good games tomorrow. So let's go.
Beautiful. Love to hear it, Teddy. Love to hear it. Well, let's get started with the game this evening, kicking off at about 7 p.m. Central Time. The Fighting Illini on the road in Madison against the Badgers. Revenge game potentially for Wisconsin here as they're laying 20.5. The total we saw drop from 55 now to about 51.5. Look, it's early. It's game one. You get Mertz in the starting quarterback position instead of Cone for Wisconsin. Is 20.5 too high in this spot, or because it's below a relatively key number of 21, would you still look toward Wisconsin?
Danny, I'm imagining the total has dropped because the weather here in the Midwest is already nasty. I'm about 2 hours north. I'm in Chicago right now, 2 hours south of Madison. And I think they're expecting some, November, December-like conditions up there. And, yeah, I understand why that number is dropping, because I think Wisconsin's offense is really quite a bit of a mystery right now. I mean, as you mentioned, Graham Mertz is a guy who comes in with super high acclaim, a good enough quarterback prospect to be offered by Urban Meyer in Ohio State. but he had not beaten out Jack Cohn. Jack Cohn was going to be Wisconsin's starting quarterback until he was lost indefinitely with surgery. So they lose Cohn. They lose Quintez Cephas, who was a really fantastic receiver, a legitimate field stretcher. And of course, Jonathan Taylor is now toting the rock for the Indianapolis Colts, not for Wisconsin. So a lot of new names on that Wisconsin team. Illinois, a very interesting spot here. You know, they've got an experienced quarterback in Brandon Peters, and the Illini are really relying on a bunch of transfers. So that team is not very well known. Obviously, Illinois shocked this team last year, won the game. Wisconsin is going to be extra fired up. The line dropped from about 23 to 20. It's still higher than I thought it would be. I thought that line would be more like 16 or 17 points.
All right, speaking of high lines, how about my alma mater, unfortunately, the Nebraska Cornhuskers? I say unfortunately because this is probably going to be a gross game to watch from my perspective, as Nebraska's currently catching 26.5. This total opened up at about 67 or so, or actually 64.5. Then we saw it at 67 for most of the week. Now it's at 68.5. Look, this Nebraska offense should be better with Adrian Martinez if he can stay healthy. Defensively, that's still the biggest question for this Cornhuskers team. And Teddy, we know how dominant Ohio State is. So is this going to be another dominant performance by the Buckeyes against Nebraska?
Yeah, I think if you're betting against Ohio State at this point, you're just counting on maybe Ryan Day showing some mercy late in the games. And there has been that speculation, like he and Scott Frost are like kind of blood brothers here. They were the two that were pushing the hardest for the return of Big Ten football. So I think there really is a sense of Ryan Day doesn't want Scott Frost to look bad, because those two guys were absolutely bonded in their desire to get Big Ten football back. So there's definitely potential for a backdoor cover here. I mean, I don't want to say Ohio State can set the score, but there probably is a feeling like that, where if Ohio State really wants to score 50 points, it will. Obviously, it's got an amazing offense, starting with Justin Fields, a quarterback who garnered all those signatures for the return to Big Ten football. You know, J.K. Dobbins is no longer in the backfield, but they've got two really good ones, including Master Teague. And you just sense that Ohio State, even after losing 10 players to the NBA draft, to the NFL draft, rather, they could probably still have 10 in the NBA draft, is going to be loaded. So I don't think it'll be a particularly close game. Nebraska has some good things going forward, starting with Adrian Martinez and a stacked offensive line. But, you know, I think the spread is probably right where I expected it to be.
All right. Now, speaking of head coaches, how about two brand new head coaches in their roles with Michigan State and Rutgers? We got Schiano and Mel Tucker. Now, this one opened with the Spartans is about a 16.5 point favorite. All the money's been coming down on the Scarlet Knights, who are now catching 11. This total, a lower one at 44.5. Is Rutgers going to be competitive, at least in this game, in your eyes, Teddy?
Well, I just might have caught Rutgers at 13.5, which I thought was a very nice number. You know, Michigan State, in a lot of games, you feel like even last year with Mark D'Antonio at the helm, you felt like you don't want to lay more than 7 or 8 with these guys, because they're a threat to only score 16 or 17. You know, Michigan State might have the worst 3-deep at quarterback in the country, or at least among the Power Five. I mean, Rocky Lombardi is expected to start, but he's never really impressed that much. The two likely behind him, nobody's really going to be scared of. On the other side of the ball, obviously, Greg Schiano is taking over a team that was god-awful last year and got shut out in a bunch of Big Ten games. But Rutgers has some transfers from legitimate Big Ten programs, guys from Wisconsin and Nebraska, Noah Vedral, the quarterback, who's probably going to start, and Michigan. So to me, Greg Schiano is a wonderful coach. He's had all the time in the world to plot a game plan. And absolutely, I understand why the line has gone down, because I think Rutgers in any double digits area is very attractive.
College football analyst Teddy Greenstein joining us here on Rush Hour, previewing Big Ten opening weekend in college football. Got about a few minutes left here, Teddy, so we'll do a little bit of rapid fire. 2:30 p.m. Central Time, Penn State on the road in Indiana against the Hoosiers. Penn State lane 6.5. This number's been bouncing up and down all week. Higher total at 62 in this one.
I mean, Penn State comes in with the reputation of having the second best roster in the Big Ten, and I'm sure that's true. But a tricky spot. I mean, Penn State, if they're human, they're already thinking about Ohio State next Saturday at home on Halloween. Indiana, meanwhile, was a botched onside kick away from being a 9-win team last season. Michael Penix is an excellent quarterback. Stevie Scott's a solid running back. So I can understand why Indiana is getting a lot of support here, both plus 6.5 and on the money line.
All right, now this one looks like it's going to be a very fun one too, especially with the point spread, because this had Iowa as a 3-point favorite for a little bit of the week. Now the news with no Moore in this spot, Rondale Moore will not be playing, Brown will not be on the sidelines. Iowa's laying 3.5, total at 52 in this matchup, Teddy.
I don't understand why that line is not a touchdown. I mean, obviously Iowa has had a lot of off-season strife in terms of, you know, African-American players, former players who have spoken out against Kirk Ferentz and his staff. Kirk Ferentz had to fire Chris Doyle, who was basically the number two in charge there as the strength and conditioning guy. So I understand, you know, that sentiment that Iowa's house is a little, you know, unclean right now. But Purdue, without its play caller and without the dynamic Rondell Moore, I don't understand why this line is not, you know, more like a touchdown. I think Iowa with, you know, a new quarterback, but really good receivers, and I think a solid defense would be the player.
Yeah, I'm in complete agreement with you in that spot. How about this one? This is going to be a fun one as well. Minnesota and Michigan. Now, this number's been going back and forth from 3 to 3.5. Currently, the Gophers are catching 3 in the hook, total at 54. Look, Minnesota has some good returning players back in the mix, a new quarterback for Michigan, and 3.5 at home. I mean, historically, Michigan's done bad in this spot. Would you look to fade the Wolverines in this one?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I've been all over Minnesota. Now, a couple days ago, there were rumors that Minnesota is having a lot of COVID issues with perhaps both of its tackles or its left tackle, and that would not be good. But I feel like Michigan comes into this season as a potential 500 team, only one starter on the offensive line, Joe Milton. You know, he looks like Cam Newton. Maybe he'll play like Cam Newton, but maybe he won't. I mean, he completed less than 50% of his passes in high school, has already thrown 2 picks in 11 attempts at Michigan. I think you're rolling the dice and you're just basing it on Michigan's jersey and reputation if you're betting Michigan in this game. I think Minnesota is the smart play, but this is one of those where it's a first week game and there's just, it's hard to predict in terms of COVID, who's healthy and how guys are going to come out.
Teddy Greenstein, ladies and gentlemen, at Teddy Greenstein's where you can follow him on Twitter. Teddy, enjoy watching the games tonight and tomorrow. Thanks for coming on as always.
Loved it, Danny. Have a great weekend. We'll see you.
All righty. You as well. Great insight from Teddy Greenstein. Love talking to him specifically about the Big Ten. Fun weekend ahead, folks. Cannot wait, especially when it starts tonight with Illinois and Wisconsin. Speaking of this weekend, it is time. Let's get to Danny's Dimes for my best bets. For this weekend, we've already hit a couple of them earlier in the week. But speaking of that game we just talked about with Iowa at Purdue, I laid the 3 with Iowa. It was there for a majority of the week. But currently, if you do want to lay the 3, you're paying 10 cents more minus $1.20. No Rondale Moore, no Jeff Brom on the sideline. I think this is a good spot now where the number's still low for the Hawkeyes. So I laid the 3 and paid a little bit extra on Saturday. Then we talked about it in the NFL. 6-point teaser. I teased the Saints down earlier from 7.5 to 1.5. The Chargers also down from 7.5 to 1.5. Saints going against the Panthers. Chargers going against the Jags. Bull team off a bye week. I know there's no Michael Thomas, but I still think the Saints get the job done. The Chargers are going to thrive against that brutal pass defense that the Jags have. And I put them in another tease as well with the Chargers down to 1.5. Except this time I paired it with the Steelers against the Titans. Short road dog. Good opportunity. Tease them up from 1.5 to 7.5. And then finally, Doug Greenberg's happy about this one, folks. Patriots money line minus 125 versus the 49ers. Best of luck, everybody. If you tail, we're 18-6 on our NFL best bets this season. We're looking to continue that on. Have fun with UFC, college football, and NFL. We'll catch you on Monday for the next edition of Rush Hour.